This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
I often feel sort of left out of things, not simply because I don't get the chance to express myself properly. I don't feel when I'm in class that I can be myself. I'm constantly thinking or constantly checking myself to make sure I don't spill the beans.
Red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue. I can sing a rainbow, sing a rainbow, sing a rainbow too.
Being a queer educator is like walking a tightrope all the time, because you have to manage other people's insecurities about sexuality, and it might be insecurities about their own sexuality or their insecurities about their interrelationships and interactions with you as a queer educator. And so you are always running a sort of metacognitive type discourse in your head to manage every situation. And that sort of thing came out very strongly with the young men that I interviewed in my thesis, is that from the time that they were 13 or 14, even younger for some of them, between 10 and 12, they realised that their sexuality was transgressing some idea of normal, and that they were on the wrong side of that idea of normal. And they developed these ways of managing through talking it through in their own heads. And that was all their private knowledge. They kept all of that to themselves. And keeping that sort of knowledge private and splitting it to a public persona that isn't connected to it is emotionally devastating, I guess.
Yeah, when I was 13, I tried to kill myself. Like, I've known from when I was about 11, 12 years old, one day I just cried and cried and cried for hours. I was just so upset. I guess it was because, well, I remember it was because there's this guy that I liked and I had a crush on, and I just was so upset I couldn't, like, tell anyone or anything, which was really bad. And then when I was 13, I actually knew that I was gay, and actually was really depressed and tried to kill myself.
I'd like to think that I'll identify myself as a teacher who happens to be gay, just like a teacher who happens to be married, or a teacher who happens to be heterosexual and single. I definitely would like to think that I will be a good role model for gay people, because I certainly wish that I'd had one, a gay teacher when I was at school, that was out and that I could relate to. That would have been really beneficial to me. So I will definitely make every opportunity to sort of be out in a positive way in the school, definitely, because it's just so important that people are out, particularly when you're dealing with young people, so they've got some decent role models to look up to.
I trained as a secondary school teacher at Christchurch in 1984, and I was about 21, I think, 21 at the time. And then started at Heriton College in 1985, which was the beginnings of the heated debate in the law reform. And I didn't come out to my students at first. I I ended up being on the front cover of Pink Triangle for a Message centrefold. And the Pink Triangle magazine itself happened to be exhibited at the Wellington Trade Fair. And it was one of those trade fairs where everybody who visited it had to go past every single store. And the second point was, at that trade fair, there was a huge argument because the gay community had got a stand there that it had misrepresented itself to get and not told the organisers that they were a gay stand. And when it arrived and they set it up, there was a huge outcry to try and get it taken down. And I remember turning around in the May school holidays and looking at Today Tonight, and the debate was being interviewed on there, and my face on the magazine flashed up on national TV, or regional TV, I guess it was at that stage. Like, I remember dropping the dinner plate and thinking, oh God, this is going to have major implications for me when I go back to school. And of course it did. And what's now I can look back quite fondly on, but at the time was really rather traumatic, and the students reacted in very different ways. The students which I taught didn't really seem to have a problem. My sixth form did. They didn't talk to me for 3 weeks, which made teaching them very difficult. But they eventually sort of came around, and we got on. At the younger forms just used it as a way of being able to abuse me and challenge the discipline in the classroom and around the grounds. And I could manage some form of control in my classroom, but I had to sort of put up with daily abuse from students which I didn't teach, from around the grounds, calling out faggot, homo, don't bend over now, here comes Mr. Town type stuff. And that was very difficult because you feel very isolated in your school and you, as a gay teacher, and you often don't feel that you can utilise the channels of discipline that might operate within a school, because nobody in a leadership position has ever stood up and said, this sort of behaviour is not okay. You know, it's not okay to abuse somebody because of their sexuality. And so you tended to try and, or I did, I tried to deal with it on my own, and that probably wasn't the most or the best way of managing that. You know, I pretended that everything was fine in my classroom and around the grounds and so forth. And it sort of raised another issue. I also thought that by coming out in the school that suddenly there'd be lots of young gay male students who'd come running up to me for support and help, and, you know, I could do the positive gay role model thing. And from a distance, maybe I achieved that. But I don't know who those gay students were. It was never safe enough for them to approach me. And if they were seen with me, it was guilt by association, and then they were at risk in the school environment themselves.
The most difficult thing about being at school is hiding it. It's just, it can be really tough sometimes. And you also encounter a lot of homophobia and people not using the word faggot or queer or gay and not really thinking about using the term. And you can't say, don't say that. It's not sort of PC to say that sort of thing, because you'll out yourself and you'll... and people will mock you, and it's not nice being mocked.
I think the biggest issues that gay people face in education is having a voice and being included in everyday discussion and activities. So when teachers are teaching subjects, particularly like say in the health area, where they're talking about relationships and marriage and sex, that they include gay people as well, instead of it being a boy-girl thing the whole time. Like in history lessons, if they mention famous people in history that were gay, just as they mention famous people in history that were straight, or, you know, which comes about when they were married or when they... whatever. So I think including the valuable and interesting history we have on gay people, and just making the curriculum far more inclusive of gay people, as they are making it inclusive for people of other cultural backgrounds.
There are plenty of support groups in Wellington. There are heaps. And I'm the only student at Wellington College who goes to any of these support groups. The only student in a school of 1,200 and 50 students. You can't tell me that one out of every 1,250 people is gay. There are more than that in my school. But we don't. They don't put up any posters. They don't offer any support. They don't talk about it in the classes that they can. We have a health in fourth form, and homosexuality was not mentioned once by any teacher in that entire year. Or it was a third of a year. The rest of the year we do craft work, but that entire time the teacher didn't mention being gay at all. And it's fourth form, and people are, at this age, are drinking, they are having sex, and they are struggling with their sexuality. And gay students need to be able to reach out and be normal. Because if you're different, you do shy away from things. And if you can't get acceptance, and if you don't have other people who are like you around you, it's very difficult. And it makes you more abnormal, I think. Some people must go through college and will go through secondary school, and they will struggle with their identity because they don't know anyone else who is like them. And the only images they see are on television, and some of them, quite frankly, are not very accurate. Not all gay men prance around in dresses like they do in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I mean, not all gay men are like that.
Well, I saw myself at school, and also now as a stereotype breaker. Whereas most people think that, well, a lot of people think that gay guys are all feminine, carry handbags, dress up as girls' clothing, and so on. And, like, I just won't be a part of that. And people just see, he's gay, but he's not feminine. And that just meant a lot to me because I knew I wasn't feminine and I didn't want people thinking that I was.
In lots of ways, I think it's more difficult. How ironic, you know, we've got everybody telling us we've got all that you ever asked for. You've got the homosexual law reform, you've got equal rights under the human rights legislation. And here I am saying, well, actually, I think it's actually more difficult. One is because you're talking about young males who are seeing lots of images of gay and lesbian people, of transsexuals on TV as mayors, the Hero Parade, the Sydney Mardi Gras, something like 57 American sitcoms that have all got gay characters in them. So they are able to see who they are at a much younger age than I could in Masterton when I was growing up. And they also can see all of those possibilities, but at the same time, there's this lovely acceptance out there on the media screen and did it. Everybody's using the word faggot in their school ground. Everybody's beating up on everybody else because they're a poofter. Nobody's sitting them down and talking to them about homosexuality in terms of its social, its political implications, its context, its identity issues. And so they are still carrying it with them, but there's this enormous pressure that they need to identify who they are. And so you've got young gay males knowing at 10 and 11 and 12 that they're gay, which is the difference, I think, from when I was going through school. You could delay it really easily until you're 18 or 19, or more easily, perhaps. I mean, it's false to probably compare the experiences, but it's very different coming out in the 90s. And whereas people might think it's easier, there's more support. If I was still growing up in Masterton in the 90s, there's no change. It's no different from when I was there. And I think, I mean, that's represented in the fact that schools do not still broach these issues. When homosexuality is talked about in schools, it's so often talked about within the sexual health curriculum and within the within HIV AIDS education or STDs. And, oh yeah, and here's homosexuality, you know. in the interviews with the young men that I did, they spoke very strongly about the fact that they left school thinking that they were going to die of AIDS. That was their only future that they had, and they expressed that very strongly. And so we need sexuality within the curriculum to come out of that context. It needs to be dealt with there too, because there are issues about safe sex. But issues of sexual identity are not about sexual behaviour, you know, and we need to start talking about those sorts of things.
We don't talk about it much, really, in classwork. It's not sort of talked about at all. The only subject that it is talked about in is classical studies, and that's simply because Romans and Greeks were raving bisexuals. They slept with whoever they wanted to, and they did have a culture of sleeping with people of the same sex, and they were just liberated. They didn't have any of this. We're taught that they don't have any of the Christian pretense, the whole thing that sex is a sacred act and it must be for procreation, and that sex is sinful. And it's discussed in class. We don't it was a non-issue for them. And I sort of agree. I think it's become too much of an issue in Western society. I mean, there are gay people, and there are heterosexual people, and there are bisexual people, and there are transgender people, and there are all sorts of people. So get over it. They're just people. They're no different to you. They just have different feelings and emotions.
Being gay and being at Teachers College, I think, is a real advantage, because I've had so much experience of being an unrecognised, hated minority group and having to deal with that. So I guess I'm quite a human rights activist now, I guess, in terms of just being aware of what other people are facing and being totally inclusive for everybody, not making assumptions about anybody's background, identity or beliefs, values or experiences, and trying to treat everybody as equal and trying to help with, you know, building self-esteem from everybody from all walks of life and making them realise that their experiences, whatever they are just as valid as anybody else's. So being gay definitely gives me a big insight into seeing all those things, which I think if you're not gay or not from another cultural background, having to fit into some other sort of lifestyle or way of life, then you never get to face that. So it gives you an interesting outlook.
Okay, well, back when I was in sixth form, I was the youngest in my form by quite a few months. I was getting hassles in class, not about being gay, but just hassles in general. So I went to the guidance counsellor and really, really depressed in that, and had a talk to the guidance counsellor about how I'd been depressed all through the summer. I just, like all through the school holidays, I just slept till about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Every day, just depressed in general right through the holidays. Then at school, I'd just really depressed. I was getting hassled, so I went to the guidance counsellor and told him. It took me a while to tell him, but I ended up telling him that I wasn't completely straight. Like, I told him that I liked girls, but I also liked guys at first, because, like, it was easier to say that than to just say, oh, I'm gay. And he got in contact with the gay switchboard, and I ended up going to Icebreakers. It all happened really quickly, actually. It was like the Thursday, and then the Friday I was at Icebreakers. And I was a bit young for that, but they made an exception, which was really good. I don't know what I would have done if they hadn't. When I told my friend about about me being gay, I sort of hinted to him about it before I told him completely, and then I actually told him in English class one day, and he was okay with that, and then we had long talks about it and that, which was cool. And then my other friends I told about it so that they wouldn't hear it through rumours. Like I found it was better for me to tell them directly than for them to hear a rumour and then come and ask me. And all my friends took it well. There's no problems there. But when I told my mum that I was gay, I went into her room and sat down, and we had a talk, and I said, "Oh, Mum, I've got something to tell you." And I told her that I was gay, and she just didn't say anything, which I found really, really scary. And then I actually started crying because, like, she just said no reaction or anything, didn't say anything, and then I was just so annoyed with my mum that I just left home for the day and came back later in the night. And she sat down with me and said, "Well, they're all old and lonely and full of diseases, and I don't want to live like that, and all that sort of rubbish." And yeah, I just thought, well, thanks, Mum. This is me you're talking about. And since then, she's had four years to get used to it now, which is pretty cool. I actually went up to the Hero Parade last weekend, and she actually said to me the day before I went up, "Oh, have a good time up there," which I thought was really cool. It's very unusual for my mum to say something like that.
I have no idea how I'm going to handle gay students when I go into schools. I'd probably be very nervous, and it would just be quite scary to begin with. Because I'm quite aware of, you know, if I'm sort of out there as a gay role model, then it's quite likely that I'll have students come up to me and say like, "I'm gay and I don't know what to do," or "I'm gay and whatever. So I guess I realise I have to be very careful about what you do. Like, we've been given instructions that we're never even allowed to be in a classroom alone with one other student. Yeah, we have to, as teachers, we have to be very, very careful about personal dealings with students. So it will be quite a tricky balance to act, but no doubt I'll learn as I go, and hopefully it will work good.
I think there's an advantage to gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered students to see out gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered teachers. And it took me a while to realise that even though gay male students didn't approach me while I was teaching, while I was out, they knew I was there. And knowing somebody is there, and knowing somebody is bouncing around being relatively cheerful and happy and being, I hate using the word normal, but has a really positive effect. It shows that you can live into adulthood. And one of the big issues in New Zealand is youth suicide, and for many young gay men, they can't see that they can live into adulthood and be happy. And so for kids to see that in school was really powerful and positive. It also sort of raises issues, I guess, about the idea of normalisation. What so many gay and lesbian teachers do is appear to be as normal as possible. And I have a problem with that in some ways, because I think that the idea of normal and that the lack of our school's ability to manage difference of any sort is crucial here. And so, like, I could get away being a gay teacher because, you know, I wore trousers. I dyed my hair occasionally and I had my ears pierced, but I wasn't overtly camp or effeminate. And so there is still, with the gay stuff that's coming out now, a total problem with overt or with the stuff that confounds gender. I've been corresponding with a young boy from the South Island who had real transgender issues, and he was basically almost killed by his peer group. He was physically pushed out in front of traffic and downstairs because he wants to transgender. You know, he's 14. He was 14 when he was first having those feelings. Now, he ended up being homeschooled for the rest of secondary schooling. And those transgender feelings are still with him. My question is, why do we have to make... why are our schools not able to make themselves safe for students like that? Or, you know, why can those differences not be tolerated?
I definitely think I will end up going out of my way to actively promote gay issues. It's almost an addiction I have, I guess. I just can't help myself. Every time I see some anti-gay letter in the letters to the editor, I'll be writing in a reply. I think it'll be a wonderful opportunity to promote inclusiveness and a better understanding of gay people, because we're still fighting a battle, and the more people that fight the battle, you know, the more we can achieve. And I think education in young people is a good place to start, particularly from my experience working with gay people through Icebreakers, as it's those people that need the help the most, and they're not actually getting it, because they're the ones that face the suicidal thoughts and the depression and all these other issues when they're already going through a million and one changes through adolescence. So to me, they're the most critical people to educate, particularly the young people who have same-sex feelings, because they are the people in need, as I see it.
Red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue. I can sing a rainbow, sing a rainbow, sing a rainbow too. Listen with your eyes, listen with your eyes, and sing everything you see. You can sing a rainbow, sing a rainbow, sing along with. Sing a rainbow to you.